minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Noob just says Anthony Davis just flopped again. Did you see that? Anthony Davis is the large man. And Facu Campazzo brushes by him. And Anthony Davis goes down. Goes down. Porter makes the three-point shot. Wave that off. Offensive foul on Campazzo. That was a big moment. And that was the rest, pretty much, the Lakers. They go on to win this thing 93-89. And that was frustrating. Check out this headline. ESPN.com. Davis scores 25 as shorthanded Lakers defeat Nuggets 93-89. Okay, I get LeBron's out. LeBron makes everything go. But shorthanded Nuggets defeat, how about shorthanded Nuggets? Shorthanded Lakers defeat shorthanded Nuggets. How about that? You're without Jamal Murray, Monte Morris, Will Barton. I mean, the list goes on and on. Those are two, potentially three starters, if you want to say that. I was arguing with someone on social media saying, yeah, but they're without three starters for the last 11 games, and Monte Morris isn't a starter. They've started Morris and Murray several times, and that can be considered an actual starting lineup. The NBA and the media, they do not want the Nuggets to do anything here. It pains them. Have you ever listen, the bias, I used to say, okay, there's bias. There's East-West Coast bias. There is. That's just the way it is. I never recall it being so obvious as it is right now. It's just so obvious. Because they don't want to give the Nuggets any credit. Hell, man. Steph Curry. You saw that article on ESPN yesterday, how Steph Curry saved a season. Saved the NBA season. I mean, it's wild to me. Joker has such a fun game to watch, and I don't understand it. We're trained by that type of media that home runs are the key to everything. The biggest plays. Look at the NFL. The deep ball. Receivers that can just outrun cornerbacks. And that's part of it. Yes, it's also part of it that Joker's not, and we talked about this a lot yesterday, I won't rehash everything there. Joker's just not sexy. You know, he dunks it and it looks odd. You know, he does a little spin move and he's deceptively fast. People don't want to admit it. It's frustrating, man. And normally I don't get this frustrated with it. But we haven't been in this position, have we? Melo got some of it, but Melo was Syracuse. He won a national title. He brought some of that to Denver. He finally brought some of that pizzazz to Denver for a moment. And Denver wasn't really favored, though. They weren't like a ratings dream, even with Melo. But Melo helped as far as the branding of the NBA. Well, because he had some clout. And he was a top draft pick, marketed highly. Look at him now, man. I mean, he's doing pretty good. He's revived his career. It's actually kind of a neat story. I know we're going to break here in a moment because we want to get plenty of time with Ben Golliver, who wrote Bubble Ball. We're going to talk to him in a moment. But Melo's story is really unique, and there's a lot of unique stories out there. But don't pretend that Steph Curry saved the NBA. And I mean, I guess if the ratings are there because of Curry, then I guess you can say he certainly helped the NBA stay above water. But you're not branding Nikola Jokic. You create the stories. You create the storylines. I've written about this before where I've said, hey, don't hate on the media. Players should not, if you can hate on certain types of media, but don't hate on them as like an umbrella as far as sports media. Because sports media creates the storylines. They create all of these buildups for us to get into. If it wasn't for the sports media, it'd just be the game. And we know games are fun, but storylines are great. Look at the NFL draft. Leading up to that thing, we spent months talking about the NFL draft because the sports media world created this thing larger than life. Now, yeah, the NFL did too, but the NFL gets it. They partner with the media. So don't pretend that Curry's the only one that could save it. You could have been getting behind Nikola Jokic all season. you know, talking about how great he really is, how unique he really is. You can't talk to him that much. He doesn't do a lot of media interviews, but you can still do it. And it's not that he's a jerk about it. He kind of has broken English, Colfax, and sometimes guys don't want to do that all of the time. You didn't hear from Dirk a lot early in his career. But the ESPN could have got behind him. They could have done that, but they choose who they're getting behind. They choose their superstars. And it's really no different this season, and it's frustrating. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Top Text Tuesday rolling on here. We are going to take a short break. We're going to make plenty of time here. What is McClain sending me? Last 20 seasons, Michael Porter Jr., third Nuggets player with 15-plus points in 30 straight games. Last time someone did that was Allen Iverson and Carmelo Anthony. Yeah, Porter is special. He is extremely special. He didn't turn it on until the second half, but it was just one of those off nights. You're bound to have it in 10 games. The Nuggets were rolling. They were hot. They were slowed down yesterday. We'll see how they respond tomorrow. 11 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We're going to talk about bubble ball inside the NBA's fight to save a season. Ben Golliver wrote this book. It's very, very interesting. We're going to talk to him coming up next. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Thirteen days, 13 teams. Preps baseball training camp coverage presented by Journey Homes airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, we're talking to Ben Golliver, Washington Post NBA writer, but also put together this extremely interesting book, Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. Ben, man, thanks so much for giving us some time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, this was a pet project of mine for, you know, almost a year of my life, living in Disney World for 93 days and getting home and immediately trying to document the whole thing for history. So I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, this is what you said it best. Document this whole thing for history. Where will this whole bubble ball experience go down? I mean, in 20 years, are we going to go, that was that weird year. The Lakers won this thing. This is going to be one of those moments in sports history that just lives on for a very long time. And I think vividly, too. I think we'll all tell stories of what we saw from the outside, but especially yourself from what you witnessed inside.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even step back from the bubble, I think 2020 is going to be one of the biggest years in NBA history. When you look at the Hong Kong controversy, David Stern's death, Kobe Bryant's death, the pandemic shutting the season down, and then, of course, trying to bring everything back together in the bubble, it's just going to be one of those years like when Magic showed up in 1980 or the 1992 Dream Team or the LeBron era begins in 2003 that people are going to circle and say that was kind of a turning point. Of course, there was a social justice angle with the presidential election. There was also a big-time sports business angle with billions of dollars being lost because of the pandemic. But there was also just the quirkiness of the bubble, right? What a weird thing to have all these Hall of Famers going down to Disney World, kind of staying in hotel rooms that would usually be for, like, Midwesterners driving down in their minivans to go get a summer break week, right? And, you know, now LeBron's in there, and now guys like me are in there trying to document the whole thing. It was just crazy. The main takeaway from the bubble is just that it went so fast. There was so much going on. And yet, of course, there was a Groundhog Day element to it as well, where it was really grinding you down. So I tried to capture both of those elements as well, just the amount of sensory overload, but then also just the kind of stasis that we all felt being here in the pandemic.
I think you did a great job of, because you outlined this from your perspective. Yes, you're reporting on the facts, the things that went inside the bubble, but you're very much taking us in. I felt like I was almost there with you. From even the moment, Ben, when you received the note that, I mean, only a select few media members got to go inside the bubble. Your story was interesting from the get-go because you were in, maybe you were out, then you were back in.
Oh, yeah. I had some health complications, you know, where I was, you know, kind of finally approved basically less than 24 hours before I could go down there. And I was already nervous about it. You know, I'm thinking, look, I live this easy life in L.A. I get my groceries delivered. You know, I don't really have too much to worry about. Now you're talking about going down to a bubble environment where there's 350 players. Hey, if one guy wants Postmates or one guy wants to go to a strip club and not tell anybody or one guy wants to have an overnight visitor in his room, does that put me at risk? And so there was a lot of nerves going into that process, but I chose to write it first person because I felt like I won the golden ticket, right? I felt like I was sitting courtside like Rihanna and Jack Nicholson watching an NBA Finals run, and it was just such a unique experience. I'm a lifelong basketball fan. I know there's a lot of people out there like that. So I just wanted the reader to kind of come along with me through the highs and lows, the nervous parts, but also the exciting parts. I mean, towards the end of the book, you know, LeBron, they're celebrating the title. They've got no one to celebrate with because it's an empty arena. So they decide to turn the champagne bottles on guys like me, and I get soaked head to toe in their title celebration. And, you know, it's one of those things where, again, it's like, you know, Willy Wonka or something, this golden ticket idea of, like, when is this ever going to happen? You know, it's a once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime type thing.
We're talking to Ben Golliver of the Washington Post, wrote Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season, available now, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, where you can get books. I have a copy here sitting right with me. I'm about 80% of the way done, Ben, and I'm a slow reader, but I'm thoroughly entertained. Of course, here in Colorado, we love the portion about the Nuggets, and I want to get into some of that, too, because history was made inside that bubble. But I think when you think about, oh, they're going to arrange the bubble, they're going to get teams over there, the casual fan just kind of like, okay, they're going to do it. They're all millionaires getting into this. Can you talk to us about how complex the situation really was? I mean, in one chapter, the final pitch, talking about everything they had to navigate through to ultimately get this tournament essentially into Disney World.
Well, look, there was a big-time battle between personal freedom and health and safety, right? Like, we didn't really have privacy in the bubble. I was wearing a device that tracked me around everywhere I went. If I got too close to people, it would start beeping. I had an electronic bracelet that was my way to get into my hotel room, but that also tracked my movement around campus. I had to wear a mask. I had to wear a credential at all times. You know, there was physical barriers, so we could not leave the campus. The only transportation were charter buses to and from the arenas, and the players had to deal with all this stuff as well. You know, one moment I'll never forget when they had the shutdown, you know, the Bucks decided not to take the court. It was like the first time all the players had been able to really catch their breath the entire experience, but there was nothing to do. So, you know, I saw Kawhi Leonard, one of the biggest stars in the game, grabs a golf cart and just starts doing 360s in this empty parking lot like a 75-year-old senior citizen, you know, because there's literally nothing else out there for people to do. And so it was very challenging, and it was very tough on the players. But here's the thing. Ultimately, all the sacrifices were worth it. Nobody got sick. There wasn't a single positive test, and they crowned a champion. This is year number 74 for the NBA last year. If they had a blank spot on that record book, to me, that's a real black eye. You know, it just hits you in the gut. And instead, you know, you have this amazing accomplishment where they spent $200 million to save the season.
Yeah, no question about it when you think about the process. But, you know, this was such an up and down journey to get there. Once you're there, like you brought up with Milwaukee's situation, with what was going on in the country outside of the bubble. I mean, as you said, 2020, a year to remember for the good, the bad, and the extremely ugly. There were so many things going on in our world politically with social justice, too. And, of course, Milwaukee, I love how you outlined leading up to when Milwaukee decided not to play in that playoff game and what that ultimately led to, man. I mean, it was so interesting how you outlined it and how the media was kind of treated around that process.
Well, I was one of only three reporters who was there for tip-off, right? I love watching the Bucks because I love Giannis. I think he's one of the most important figures in the NBA in the 21st century just because of his global reach. And, you know, I got to the arena, I sit down, I look around, wait a minute, there's only one team here. So I start to go on a reconnaissance mission to try to figure out where are these guys. And, you know, I take it through step by step in the book, but we were staking out that locker room for hours waiting for these guys to come out and explain their thought, explain why they shut things down and explain what they wanted to do next. I mean, that was a crazy time period. The next few days, Chris Paul and LeBron James are calling Barack Obama for advice. Michael Jordan's getting involved with the owners' negotiations. I mean, they really had to put this whole thing back together. And it all started with that decision not to take the court, which caught everybody by surprise. I'll always say it. I mean, the most memorable playoff game I've ever been to was the one that didn't take place, the one they didn't play.
What was that like to know? I mean, let me rephrase that. Did you think we were going to resume play in the bubble once all that went down?
I did because there was so much money at stake. You know, if those guys walked away, you know, not only is the $200 million gone for how much they spent to build the bubble, but the collective bargaining agreement for next year is probably gone too, because the owners at that point say, look, these losses are just too big. You know, we've got to figure something else out. We're going to make a new deal. And they had the right to do that because the pandemic, you know, qualified as like an act of God, so they could cancel the contract if they wanted to. So I knew they were going to get back out there. It was only a matter of time.
How do you think they pulled this thing off? I mean, was it ultimately the most successful? I mean, obviously a boycott, but then you're drawing attention to social issues. Everyone's talking. On a scale from 1 to 10, how successful was the bubble experiment, if we want to call it that?
I'd say 10 out of 10. I mean, the quality was really high. The play on the court, you know, guys didn't have to travel. They were really, really locked in playing great basketball. They kept everybody safe. They crowned the champion. They accomplished all their goals. Now, could they have done it a little bit quicker so they didn't have to compete from a rating standpoint, you know, with the NFL and baseball playoffs? I mean, maybe that would have been helpful. More people would have watched the finals. But, I mean, I think they came, they saw, they conquered. And, look, it was tough. I mean, nobody wanted to do it again, right? But as a one-time experiment to kind of save a season, keep the league on track, and crown a champion, I thought they nailed it. I came away blown away and very impressed, and I went in super skeptical. I wasn't even sure they were going to make it halfway through. I actually brought a pair of Jordans that are called the playoffs, and I said I wouldn't wear them until we actually made it to the playoffs, and I was thinking, oh, there's like a maybe an 80-20 shot that I actually get to wear these sneakers, right? And I bought some suits for the finals, and I said, oh, there's probably a 50-50 chance I ever get to wear these. And sure enough, I got to wear both, and it was great.
We're talking to Ben Golliver of the Washington Post, of course, an NBA writer. But more importantly, today we're talking about bubble ball inside the NBA's fight to save a season. Well, us here in Colorado, I mean, it was a magical bubble for Nuggets fans. It felt like Denver was done in that first series against Utah. They're down 3-1. You're thinking, all right, the Nuggets are toast. They're ready to go home. Something clicked. They turned it on. They did it again against the Clippers.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, six straight games elimination and they don't go home anytime. I mean, imagine the mental fortitude. Anytime guys got to that, you know, kind of crossroads moment, do I have to stay here in the bubble or do I get to go home? A lot of teams folded. You know, Houston folded, the Sixers folded, the Clippers folded, and the Nuggets just did it. They just kept going and going and going. It's a credit to Jamal Murray, who was just playing out of his mind for a month straight, and also to Jokic. You know, on this point about Jokic, I want to make this very clear. He's obviously the MVP for this season. There's no question about it. There is no debate. He is the MVP. He needs to start getting mentioned in the best player in basketball conversations, too. Don't, like, couch this by saying, oh, it's only a one-year thing. This guy's been a monster now for, like, three or four straight years. I think he's the best passer in the game at this point. He's right in his prime. He's durable. I understand there's some defensive concerns, but he's not as bad as his reputation, you know, he kind of gets thrown around. And offensively, he's the number one guy I'd want to start a team with at this point, unless LeBron James can get his ankle healthy, because he just makes all of his teammates better. So I just think that's very important. Don't just make this a one-year thing in the conversation. Start talking about this guy as arguably the best player in the sport.
Ben, you got a lot of Nuggets fans just cheering right now, man. They want to hear national media talk about it. So thank you for that. Talking about the Joker, man. I mean, that's something we've been harping on forever.
And I promise I'm not pandering, man. I just love this guy's game, everything about it. People actually tell me I kind of look like him. I got a smaller head and a smaller nose, same haircut. So maybe there's an affinity there. But I just, everything about him, that's how you play basketball the right way. You make your teammates better. I call it the halo effect, and he's got one of the biggest halos in the league.
Hey, Ben, let me ask you, side note here. Why do you think sometimes the national media has a hard time getting behind a guy like the Joker?
Well, he doesn't like the interviews, man. He's got to go to some press conference training, I think. You know, he's so dry, and he's pretty quick with his comments, and he doesn't want to pound his own chest, and I think it's just tricky. I would encourage him to step up and tell his own story as much as he can. Maybe have somebody manage a social media account for him. But guys like Michael Malone and Jamal Murray do a great job of singing his praises. And, look, that's a pretty easy choir to join. You know, I'll join that choir, too. It's nothing but rewarding to be able to talk about Joker.
We're talking to Ben Golliver of the Washington Post, and we're talking about bubble ball inside the NBA's fight to save a season. A lot of talk before the bubble, during the bubble, after the bubble, was that there was going to be this asterisk next to the Lakers or the entire season. Do you put one there?
No. Underline it, exclamation point, no. The Lakers went 16-5. They beat a lot of good players. Their guys were the two best guys in the bubble, LeBron and Anthony Davis, the whole way through. And I would just point to how these other teams responded to the bubble. It was validating, right? If you don't think the bubble counts, you don't go out there and make major moves during the offseason. Philly, the Clippers, Houston, Milwaukee all made big-time moves. That told me all I needed to know. That title counts, and it should be remembered like that forever. It was very hard. You know, LeBron likes to say it's one of his toughest achievements. 2016 was better. There's no question. I mean, Golden State was such a tough opponent. But the bubble's right up there, too, probably in second place for his titles.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. It was so – we talked to several reporters that actually said the something similar. It's the opposite. We're going to reward this one more because of what they went through physically and mentally. You talked about that. We're familiar with Yusuf Nurkic. You're extremely familiar with Nurkic with your work with the Blazers. He went through a lot of stuff mentally, losing his grandma to COVID. We talk about Kevin Love. You documented that as well with what he experienced mentally. It wasn't just the physical thing. It was the mental health aspect, being so far away. You experienced this personally, being so far away from your loved ones, being cut off.
Yeah, I didn't even have to play, and it was really stressful. You know, I put on weight. I wasn't sleeping very well. I was feeling isolation from my parents. I mean, all of it just added up to a very, very tough and challenging experience. And that's why I think, you know, if you weren't there, don't judge or try to put these guys down. I mean, the lack of travel was a benefit, no question. Everybody enjoyed being in that single site location, but this was still grueling stuff day after day, trying to stay focused. And it caught up to me for sure. And I know it caught up to a lot of the players.
Ben, last one for you. You mentioned the boycott side of things, but what was the one thing perhaps that stood out to you? Was it that process leading into it? What was that number one thing when you walked away that's going to be just like burned in your brain forever?
Well, on the court, for sure, it would be the boycott. I mean, that was just the most memorable kind of, most talked about moment of the entire experience. I mean, it's on the front page of every newspaper. It's leading all the news stations. I'll just remember the campus, though, because there was no tourists. It's so empty. You had all these animals, like, taking back over control of the swamp of Disney World, you know? I saw so many alligators, armadillo, deer. I mean, all this stuff you would not expect to see on this campus. And so, you know, for me, as somebody from Oregon who really likes the outdoors, it was just trippy. You know, it was like, here they are coming to reclaim the kingdom, you know, the Magic Kingdom, if you will.
Ben, you could have made a movie while you were down there, too, man. You got the book, of course. You could throw that camera up. You could have had a movie.
Well, hey, look, if you want to be my agent, you know of anybody in Hollywood, just let me know, all right? We will figure it out.
All right, my friend Ben. We'd love to get you on at some point again down the road. I would love to pick your brain about all things basketball. It's a sensational read. I'm going to probably finish it this week. I really, really recommend it. What a crazy time. What an interesting time in our lives, not just sports history, but history overall. And you documented it perfectly, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that so much, man. Take care, and I wish all the best to the Nuggets fans. It's going to be a fun playoff run, man. I think they're going to be making some noise.
This Western Conference is intense, and we'll see how it all wraps up. Ben Golliver, thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, man. Take care.
All right, Ben Golliver, Washington Post, NBA writer. The book is Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. That's a crazy thing, right? In Disney World, like the animals just start taking over. It's like Walking Dead. I didn't want to say that to Ben there, but my goodness, that's kind of what I'm picturing. Like suddenly the animals are just starting to take over. What a crazy time. He was away. He was inside that thing for 93 days, him personally. You know, we talk about the basketball and we do talk about, well, they're making money to do it. And that's true. They're all making damn good money. But I mean, Yusuf Nurkic, he's inside the bubble, loses his grandmother. And Nurkic is extreme. We learned this when he was a Nugget. Extremely close to his family. You know, they would come to games. They'd fly and come to games and stuff. And Nurk had a tough time. This big brute of a man, Ben Golliver documents that in the book, that he just is a completely different guy. He shut off. These guys are still people, you know, and they're asked to be away from their family for a very long time. And then, you know, again, whether you want to get into the political aspect, agree or disagree, you guys know my thoughts on that. I really like being, as a fan, being able to check my brain off. But there was a lot going on in this world. They debated whether they wanted to play at all. Then they do play. A lot of other stuff continues to happen. They boycott. It's not happening for a while. Then it comes back and it happens, and you're still wondering if it's going to happen. You got players skipping out and going, remember the strip club, going there. Well, crazy times. The bubble was nuts. And I think, we talk about it specifically when it comes to Jamal Murray. Oh, but Jamal Murray, a star, was born inside that bubble. And that was something we glom onto here. But this whole thing, if you think about it, how much is he say? $200 million to put this whole thing on in what, 2 months? We didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen until they arrived. Then they arrived, and it felt like this strange, I don't know, that we're basically watching a bunch of NBA players go to basketball camp. That's what I kind of felt like. They're all staying at the same hotels. They can't leave their rooms. I mean, if you're listening to the show and you went to basketball camps in high school or college, whatever, you weren't allowed to leave your room past curfew. You were shut down. These guys were locked up. They were not able to do anything. And I thought this was interesting, too, in the book. Ben talks about it and says the players weren't allowed to bring their chefs, right? And most people like us read that and go, oh, give me a break. These are giant men that are on a strict diet for the most part. Like, they are on a strict diet. And do they absolutely know what everything they eat? No, they have a guy that does all of that for them so they could be in tip-top shape. And then was it Joel Embiid takes a picture of their food and it was like, you know, piece of chicken, salad, and like, I don't remember what else. And I'm thinking, well, that's awesome for me. But I'm 5'10 and a half, 173. You know, I'm not 7 foot, 253 pounds. So, I mean, those were weird adjustments, but that was just one little thing. All these things stick out that we don't really think about. In order to be a highly trained athlete, finely tuned and playing, I mean, yeah, maybe it sounds like privilege as far as their money goes and stuff. LeBron has a hyperbaric chamber that he's in, but Tom Brady will tell you, all those things allow him to play into his 40s. And they didn't have it for the 93 days. Those things, they didn't have the boost from their family. They talk to him, Zoom and all that stuff, but Lord knows we've all been on enough of those Zoom meetings now, and that doesn't do the trick, especially when it comes to your family. I think about being away from my wife and my kid. I can't do a night. Imagine those days. Well, Brady, if you were paid that much, we've actually had that debate. Would you be away from your family for 93 days for $1 million? And that's 93 days you're never going to get back. And as a father, it's absolutely no. I can barely do a day. 35 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's get we'll talk more about his interview. I thought that was fantastic. But let's also talk about, a little bit about on the Broncos and some more on the Denver Nuggets and last night and this Western Conference and how interesting it ultimately is going to get. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. It's The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Mark Larson, your Greeley source for all your insurance needs. Auto insurance is a State Farm specialty, as well as homeowners, renters, life, liability, and property. Auto, home, and life insurance services in Greeley. If you want them, go to Mark Larson. His website, marklarsoninsurance.com, a local guy, big into the local sports scene, too, as far as the UNC Bears and beyond. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. You want to get involved? You want to text the program? If you haven't before, text KFKA to that number. We've got the Broncos stained glass, like an oak wooden frame around there. It's beautiful, perfect for the man cave. You can plug that bad boy in, it lights up. We'll see who's going to win this thing. First 1-3 gets the dub. First Advantage text line again, 970-478-1301. Let me read a couple of texts here. About the Lakers may have created the blueprint for shutting down Porter. They were hounding him everywhere he went and didn't let him get any space in that half-court set. His points came in transition or from just ridiculously great shots with people up on him. They kind of committed to flat-out denying him the ball, especially in the first half. Felt like Porter was really pressing to try and get going, and the Lakers just weren't letting his normal looks come to him. He was having to work really hard to get any space. That's going to be the key for Porter. That's going to be the next elevation of his game to be even better without the ball in his hands, weaving his way through screens. And that's something both Malone and Porter are going to have to work through. The coaching staff's going to have to work through getting him open, finding ways to get him open. But this is where it hurts, not having a Monte Morris. I love Facu Campazzo. I think what gets lost in this whole thing, Facu's a rookie. He's still a rookie. He's an older rookie, but he's still a rookie figuring out this NBA game. you are going to have somebody else contribute. And I'm not talking Jamal Murray, 19 points a game. You can't have JaVale McGee be your third best scorer in a, when it comes to games like this when you get into the playoffs. Because you had Joker with 32, Porter with 19, and JaVale McGee with 10. It's not going to work. Now, they didn't play Millsap. Millsap didn't play. And then that's, you know, again, Millsap has some nice nights. I'm not saying he would have been a big contributing factor. But Monte Morris, he's still a guy that's going to get you that 10, 12, 15, get you closer to that. That's what you needed last night. You needed another guy in the double digits, in the 12 to 15s. Faku didn't have it. He had 0 points in the first half. Porter had 3 points in the first half. The encouraging thing for Porter is that he did end up with 19. That he did, it did end up breaking loose. I mean, he had that key layup with about 2 minutes left to put the Nuggets within two. And then, of course, he had the three-point shot that was erased because of Faku's offensive foul knocking down a seven-foot man. I mean, don't get me wrong. Faku's a strong mamma jamma. He has knocked people to the ground before. But you don't act like for a second you think he can knock Anthony Davis on the floor like that. Not the way that that angle was. What a flop. Hopefully he gets a letter. Drove by the station today looking for Colfax on the roof. Where is he? What, it's cold again, isn't it?
Is it cold? I mean, it was kind of nice this morning.
Just kind of forgot about it again. Wow. Why do we keep forgetting about
Dang.
It? What happened? Did Faku bump into him and he flopped off of the roof? Maybe. Maybe that's what happened. Faku, the Faku sighting. And knocked you off the roof. Yeah, no, I want to talk more about Porter because when we talk about him just being have to be better, yes, that's true. But when the Lakers can basically say, hey, we're going to let Joker get 30. Not let, because he's going to earn those points, but we're not stopping him. It's freaking Joker. He's going to get 30 points. We're not stopping him. As long as we don't let somebody else beat us badly, we'll let that go all day long. And that's where they said, we have to neutralize Michael Porter Jr. The fact that he walked away with 19 and Denver loses by 4 is kind of shocking when you look at the box score. So I actually walk away. I know I'm optimistic about this. I walk away from that game last night and I say, terrible outing, other than the Joker. Nobody looked right in this game. And you're still without, you know, I know they're saying shorthanded Nuggets or shorthanded Lakers. They should be saying shorthanded Nuggets too. But they didn't look good. We got Mike texting, and that's a garbage play, talking about the flop. Garbage play by both players. First of all, Faku clearly takes a right turn into him. And for what reason? Secondly, humongous Anthony Davis looks like he got run over by a truck. No call, play on. Call out both players on their garbage on the way back down the floor. Probably. Faku, he's got... There's a little bit of that... You know, when the ref's not looking and elbow's going into your rib. And I'm saying there's a place for that. I'm not condoning it necessarily, but there's kind of a place for it. But you and I both know, Colfax, if Faku's not playing for the Nuggets and he's pulling that crap against the Nuggets, we're not liking it. However, the most obvious was Anthony Davis's flop. I agree, though. No call it. Let's do a no call on that. Faku maybe doesn't need to slant right a little bit. But I didn't see that as clearly as that. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. And I don't think it's... I'm watching it here. Let me see it again. Da, 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 da. There's Faku. He passes off. Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if I'm calling that an offensive foul. You can make a case for it, I guess, but... But Anthony Davis still flops. So do you just no-call? That's just no-call that. I think it's close. I mean, maybe Faku didn't see him. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Poll question of the day, Colfax. Are the Nuggets better without Jamal Murray?
I'm going to put my answer this way. They are playing better right now without Jamal Murray. But that doesn't mean they're a better team. Without Jamal Murray.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm not going there yet. I think that they have found a way to do it. I think Nikola Jokic, Ben Golliver, who's a Washington Post NBA writer, we just talked to him moments ago, just said it. We're not talking about Joker being MVP. We're talking about Joker being the best player in the NBA, period. Overall, this is not a flash in the pan. So you are getting Joker, who last year, the last two years, arrived to superstar status, going to All-Star games. This year, he has went from superstar status to top five, one of the five. And you can rearrange that however the hell you want, but he's top five in the league. And so I think that's what we're seeing ultimately. And Michael Porter Jr. took the necessary step. We didn't know if it was going to happen, but he took the necessary step.
And it's almost, I mean, it's never good when a player gets injured, but it has made room for that to happen.
And listen, it's sports. This happens all the time. Yeah. Injuries happen. They suck. Nobody wishes for them. You shouldn't wish for an injury. They do happen. And when they happen, sometimes we see greatness come from other players that when that other player's healed up, okay, great. Now we got this new thing we can try going forward. I mean, it happens all the time in the league, in the NBA, in the NFL, major leagues, NHL, whatever. You see it. Guy goes down, player steps up. Oh, had no idea that guy had it in him. Facu Campazzo. he's becoming a bigger name for the Nuggets than we anticipated. So, interesting stuff. My game of the week coming up. It's still going to be huge, Colfax. Either way, it's Nuggets Jazz later this week. It's on Friday night. That is absolutely going to be big. We put up our game of the week each and every Monday. All right, we'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up the show on the other side. What a busy show today. Drew Kreisman was awesome, as always. Ben Golliver, man, that guy was sensational. What an awesome book. You guys should check it out. Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. We'll be right back.
Days, 13 teams. Preps baseball training camp coverage presented by Journey Homes airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
An all right Top Takes Tuesday. I know we loaded up on the interviews today. We were dying to get, obviously Drew Kreisman on a Tuesday makes sense with May the 4th, right? Talking nerd stuff and Rocky stuff. Ben Golliver, though, sensational author, wrote Bubble Ball Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. Really enjoyed that chat. If you missed it, we'll have that interview available for you at thewholeshow.com and 1310kfk.com. Colfax, I like this one today. Good job, man. We're going to go Eastside Chris. You've done it. Another Top Text Tuesday. All right, so we got Noob with one, Pillow Fight Dan with one, Eastside Chris with one. Things are heating up in Top Text Tuesday. That's going to do it for us. Doubleheader. Rockies Giants coverage begins at 3 o'clock. We're on a short show tomorrow. We got 30 minutes of a program because of the Rockies. So get at us while you can. It's doing it for us. The Herd with Colin Cowherd's coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.